the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 1, we're going to begin a new series in Sunday school concerning the Ten Commandments. A little while before we get into the actual commandments themselves, there are some things that we need to understand concerning the laws of God. In verse 3 of chapter 1, it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. This 40th year refers back to the time when Israel was delivered from Egypt, so it's been 40 years, and Moses is going to repeat the laws that God had given to Israel. In fact, the word Deuteronomy means second law, which indicates, of course, that the law is repeated, and it is throughout the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy consists of a series of farewell messages by Moses, who at this time is 120 years old. And in these messages, he is again repeating the laws of God. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we know back in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments were given, and they are repeated here in Deuteronomy chapter 5. In verse 1, and Moses called all Israel and said unto them, O Israel, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. So he's repeating the law. The purpose is that they might learn these laws, that they might keep these laws or guard these laws and do them. Now notice the order. Learn. Learn comes before do. Learn the laws. Keep, guard what you've learned, and do them. In verse 5, referring to the first time the Ten Commandments were given, I stood between you, between the Lord and you at that time, to show you the word of the Lord. For ye were afraid by reason of the fire, and went not up into the mount, saying, and then he repeats, beginning with verse 6 through verse 21, he repeats the Ten Commandments. Now it is interesting, again, Deuteronomy meaning second law, it's a book of law. And it is interesting for all these people today who are so dead set against laws of God, Christ quoted the book of Deuteronomy more than any other book in the Bible. And it is a book concerning the law of God. It is a book about obedience. Obedience is referred to as a way of blessing. Disobedience has a way of curse in the book of Deuteronomy. And we notice in chapter 11, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. Again, he's repeating the laws of God. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods. And if you turn from God, you'll always go after other gods. He has to be replaced with something which ye have not known. And we live in a country today that is under the curse of God because we have turned from the laws of God. And I'm not speaking the ones who have turned from the laws of God. Certainly, the general public has. But more so, God's people. The country's in the shape it's in because of God's people. And that's another message. Because of the indifference of God's people. You see this all through the Old Testament. God judged lands because... not because of ungodly governments, but he judged lands because of God's people living ungodly lives. God's people today like to blame the government, but the best thing that could happen is for God's people to look in the mirror and see that they are the reason, or one of the reasons, for the judgment of God. Throughout the book of Deuteronomy, you find the words, thou shalt, 230 times. 230 times we see those words, thou shalt. Thou shalt not, we find 76 times. 76 times. So that gives us a total of 306 times, thou shalt not. So for those who are opposed to law, they're going to have a hard time stomaching the book of Deuteronomy. We also see the word commandments 42 times. The commandments of God. God says 36 times, I command. To do, we see 35 times. Observe to do. The purpose of observing is to do what you observe. We see that phrase 14 times. Keep the commandments. We see that phrase 6 times. So the purpose of the book of Deuteronomy, again, he's repeating the laws of God, including the Ten Commandments. And the purpose is to show Israel, to remind Israel, and it's something that we need to be shown, it's something that we need to be reminded of always, that they were under the government of God. And so it is with God's people today. We are under the government of God. So what are God's laws? What do we mean when we talk about the laws of God? Well, it's laws that God has given. It refers to rules of conduct, inward and outward. It refers to rules of conduct. It refers to his appointments, the things that he has determined are right and wrong. It refers to the sanctions of God. It refers to the orders of God. And it refers to the boundaries that God has set. And really, instead of people looking at laws of God as an infringement upon their freedom, they need to look at the laws of God as a fence around their life to protect them. The laws of God serve as a boundary for man. Why does man need boundaries? Because man is depraved. Because man is wicked. And his inclinations are wicked. And his inclination is to go away from God. So God has set laws. He has given us boundaries. And in the Old Testament, there are over 2,000 laws. And they are basically summarized in the Ten Commandments. There were laws for every aspect of Israel's life. Every single aspect of Israel's life, there were laws. For every possible circumstance, there were laws. If an ox fell in a ditch, there were laws. If an animal you owned attacked, there were laws. Again, the laws of God cover a variety of circumstances. We see that there were laws specifically for men. We see that there were laws specifically for women. We see that there were laws for boys and girls. There were laws for husbands. There were laws for wives. There were laws for sons and daughters. So this is God setting these boundaries in every aspect and under every circumstance in life. And though today we live in a society and culture that is literally engulfed in moral relativism, which says there is no absolute truth. Truth is what you make it. There is no absolute authority. We live in a pragmatic society, which says if it works, it's right. But the laws of God say different. Now, the result of this moral relativism, the result of pragmatism, is that the individual becomes his or her own personal authority. But the laws of God say different. Every single law of God says that you are not your own personal authority. God is authority. And this is why the laws of God offend so many today. We live in a culture, we live in a society where many are caught in the trap of personal freedom, which simply says there are no guidelines except those that you choose to adopt for your own life. And you may choose to adopt one set of guidelines. Someone else may choose to adopt another. Someone else may choose not to adopt any whatsoever. But that all falls under the heading of personal freedom. But again, the laws of God say differently. Every law of God says that you are not your own authority. You do not have the freedom to just do as you please without consequences. We live in a society, of course, of humanism and atheism. The two go hand in hand. Where there's one, there's the other. Which says, basically, there is no judge. Do what you please because there is no one who is going to judge you. The result being vain imaginations, no fear of God whatsoever. Why is it today that men have no fear of God? Because they don't believe that God is going to judge them. They have been convinced. No one goes to hell anymore, I mean in people's minds. God is not going to judge anyone in people's minds. There is absolutely no fear of God. And instead, there is pleasure in wickedness. But once again, the laws of God, every single one of them, reminds us that there is a judge. That there is a judge. That there is accountability. That what is being sold today and what is being bought by many is there is no absolute truth. There is no authority. There are no rules unless there are rules that you adopt for yourself. And there is no judge. Bottom line, you are in charge of your life Do what makes you happy. Just don't hurt anyone else, but just do what makes you happy. Do whatever you please. But once again, the laws of God say different. The entire system of God's laws declare there is truth. There is truth. Every law of God reminds us that there is truth. And it is also a reminder that there is an authority. And there are rules. And there is a judge. And if there is a judge, there is accountability. So the laws of God are reminding us of these things, and certainly the Ten Commandments remind us of this. So we want to consider some grave errors, and there are basically two, concerning the law of God. Some grave errors concerning the law of God. There is the error of legalism. If you've been around those who profess Christianity for any amount of time, eventually you will hear the charge being brought, that person is a legalist. Well, most people that use that term have no idea what they're talking about. They have no clue what legalism is. But you can mark it down. Those who bring that charge live disobedient lives to God and have no concern concerning the laws of God. But there is a false definition of legalism. In the thinking of many who profess Christianity, legalism to them is any presentation of Christianity which maintains standards, which maintains standards or practices separation from the world and believes in a code of conduct. That's legalism in the eyes of most who use that term. But that is a misrepresentation of legalism. In fact, the truth is, the most people who bring the charge of legalism, they are. I mean, they are legalists. They're the ones who are truly legalists. So anytime someone brings that charge, you need to ask them, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know what I mean. No, I don't know what you mean. I have a pretty good idea. But I'd like you to explain to me what you mean when you bring the charge of legalism. And as Brother Garner Smith always used to say, I'd rather be legal than illegal. And how true. How true. But look at the biblical view of legalism. First of all, legalism is not, the word is not found in the Word of God. However, the subject is dealt with specifically in the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is all about the subject of legalism. And what was the teaching that Paul was confronting in Galatians? He's confronting legalism, which says, that is the true definition, it is necessary to keep the law of Moses in order to gain or maintain salvation. That is legalist. So if someone believes salvation by works, they can truly be termed a legalist. And there are many systems of theology that believe in salvation by works. And they are legalists. Paul wrote the book of Galatians to counteract, to correct this teaching of legalism. That is, you have to keep the law in order to be saved. Notice in Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You see, he's refuting a teaching that righteousness comes by the law, that salvation comes by the law, that justification comes by the law. He refutes the same teaching in the book of Romans. Then notice in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. In chapter 3, verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. Again, he's using the same language that he uses in the book of Romans, but he's refuting the same teaching. Legalism has been around a long, long time. Legalism goes all the way back to Cain. We say, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. There's not a law that could be given that could give life. And Paul says, if there was one, God would have certainly told us. Verse 24, wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified, not by the law, but by faith. And then chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, which is the law, as a system of works. The legalism that which Paul opposed, which Paul is addressing, is the thinking which made the observance of the law a condition of salvation or a condition of righteousness. You can break it into two groups of people, and the one group is very prevalent in our churches today. There is the group that believes that salvation comes through the works of the law. Now, of course, there isn't anyone in our churches, I would sure hope not, that would believe such a thing. But there is another group, like the Pharisees, who believe that righteousness comes through the law, that they are righteous by keeping the law. That, too, is a form of legalism, and our churches are filled with those kind of folks. But legalism, the main teaching of legalism, is it is necessary to keep the law in order to be saved. It is necessary to keep the law in order to be righteous. Now, the law, of course, when God gave the law, a covenant, it was not a covenant of works in the sense that Israel's salvation depended upon it. The law was given to Israel, not that they might be redeemed, but because they had been redeemed. And we'll see that when we get to the introduction of the Ten Commandments. The nation had been brought out of Egypt by the power of God, under the blood of the slain lamb. The law was added at Sinai, was a necessary standard of life for redeemed people. In fact, the Ten Commandments begins with a declaration in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, with a declaration of their redemption. It is an incentive. Our redemption. Grace and law are not enemies. They do not need to be reconciled. They're not enemies. They work together. But we see the Ten Commandments begins with a declaration of the redemption, which is an incentive to keep, to obey the law. Because God has redeemed us, we ought to want to obey the law. So are we legalists? No. No, we're not. We do not believe that any works will ever cause you to obtain salvation. Take it a step further. We do not believe that keeping the law makes you righteous. Your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. So, no, we are not legalists. But, that being said, we are a people who believe the Bible and believe that if God says do it, we ought to do it. And if God says don't do it, we ought not do it. We do believe that. That does not make us legalists, because we do not believe that keeping the law gives us salvation or maintains our salvation. But we do believe that if God says do it, do it. If God says don't, don't. And it needs no explanation. Well, why? Why did God say that? You don't need to know. All you need to know is God said do it, do it. And if God said don't, then don't. You don't need an explanation. You need to simply trust God in His wisdom and realize that this is a barrier. This is a fence, a border that God uses to protect us. You see, the charge, the accusation of legalism. I'm not going to let someone get away with it. If someone says, well, you're a legalist, they're going to have to explain to me what they mean by that. And then I want an apology after they explain what they mean. And I want them to admit, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Now, that's not going to happen, but I'm going to strive for it. Because it offends me when people use that word loosely, legalism. And the ones who use it, it is a phony accusation trumped up to excuse those who prefer to ignore the directives of God's Word and to satisfy themselves. Well, I don't want to be a legalist. They have no idea. In other words, I don't want to obey this law and I don't want to push it on anyone else because I don't want to be a legalist. It's a phony charge. It's just an excuse for people who want to overlook the laws of God. If you ever notice, and it becomes abundantly clear in the Ten Commandments, when God says, thou shalt, there's something that follows. When God says, thou shalt not, there's something that follows. And it's always very plain. I mean, it's not hard to understand. When God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, well, what does he mean by that? Well, how ignorant are you? I mean, he means what he says. Thou shalt not steal. Well, what does God mean by that? You see, that's our pragmatic society, our humanistic society that we live in. There is also the error, which is the other extreme of legalism, the error of antinomianism. And we'll look at that next week. But it's basically that means that the saved have been liberated from all observance of the laws of God. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. But there is that law, and again, our society has embraced it. Society has embraced antinomianism. which simply means anti-law, anti-authority. Let's look to the Lord.